You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
Oh my God.
This is Hungover, a new mini-series where we follow some of our favorite theater artists on their way back to the stage.
We're going to be checking in with these artists before rehearsal, during rehearsal, seeing the process, and then afterwards during performances.
So you'll get a unique perspective on their journeys to getting back to normal.
So grab your hair of the dog, because this is Hungover.
Cheers!
Cheers!
Ding!
Welcome to this week's episode of Hungover, an Equity One mini-series where we follow some of your favorite theater artists on their way back to the stage. I'm Elliot.
And I'm Caleb.
And we are, we have never quite recorded an episode like this before because Caleb and I are in the same apartment in different rooms and on our own mics, you know, doing the best we can because our amazing guest is coming to us live from Philadelphia. Is that right?
Yes, I am. I am Philly right now. This is Pierre Jean Gonzalez.
Yes. Yay! Welcome back, Pierre. It's so good to see you.
All the effects right here.
Yes.
Under some laws.
Oh, what's up, guys? It's so good to hear you guys' voice again. Yes, I'm in Philly right now. We are in our second week, the beginning of our second week now. And it's been like just a breath of fresh air. Really, yeah. Coming up here, being close to home, being close to New York has been like mind-blowing. That Amtrak is cute, girl.
Is she going back and forth?
She may have, you know, hopped on a little train.
That's her man, honey.
Exactly. You already know. No, just to see my family, just to like get away and like feel like I could just get on a train and an hour I'm back at the theater. So it's been like, what a blessing.
That's amazing.
Is Philly pretty right now with the leaves changing? Are leaves changing? Because leaves aren't changing here in New York.
Not yet. But yesterday she was like, it's fall. Yesterday was like a smack in the face. Like, where's your jacket? Wear your pants. Put your flip-flops away. Get ready. I feel like I went shopping yesterday too, so I'm ready. She's ready. Had a full day off. Yeah.
It's been very like we've had some fall here. Let's just say the air conditioners have been off in this house. We'll say that. And Caleb, I'm probably gonna have to ask you to come over and help me take it out.
Soon.
But
oh my God, you take yours out. I'm like, as a true New Yorker, we just like put a quilt over it and like.
I take the one. We're gonna leave the one in the bedroom because our bedroom has like 7 radiators in it randomly, and it gets so hot in this like tiny little bedroom. So we're gonna leave the one in the AC like year round, but we take out the one. In the living room.
Yeah, you want the sunlight, the extra sunlight, because you know the sun goes down at 4 o'clock in the afternoon.
Girl. And when the sun goes down at 4 in the afternoon, that means we drink early. Kayla, what are we drinking today?
We are drinking a red lip Zen from Intermission Cellars.
Yes, honey. Ooh. And Kristen and David are going to tell you a little bit about that right now.
Confidence, glamour, depth, texture, rebellion. Wait, are we talking about red lipstick or Zinfandel? Both. Red Lip Zin embodies these characteristics and, if you're lucky, might even stain your lips the same way. I like to say, a red lip instantly elevates your performance, whether gracing the stage or out on the town. Similarly, this luscious wine makes a statement that will make everyone listen. Zin is a showstopper filled with bold, dark berry flavors with a 5% kiss of cab to add a peppery, chocolate finish. Enjoy Red Lip Zin and wear your red-stained lips proudly. Remember, everyone will be looking at your mouth, so you better have something to say.
Kristen dedicates this performance to all the bold, strong, and beautifully talented women with whom she's shared the dressing room with. This blend is 95% Zinfandel and 5% Cabernet Sauvignon.
To order Red Lip Zin or any of the other Intermission Cellars wine, go to www.intermissioncellars.com.
Cellars with a C. And you can find us on Instagram at Intermission Cellars.
Okay, let's take a sip.
Here we go.
Oh, that's good.
Oh.
It really hit that flavor at the back of my throat.
She was like, the notes of...
No.
Covid.
We're good. It's really good. But what are you getting, Caleb? It's red, obviously.
It's red. It's very... it has a bite to it. I like this kind of red. I like it's not like juice. It's not juice. It's heavy a little bit. Not heavy in a bad way, but like...
No, I feel you. It's like definitely fall. It's like... I feel... But I do feel like, you know, I'm notorious for putting ice in my red wine or frozen berries in my red wine to bring up the temperature. Uh-huh. This, however, is very room temp drinkable.
Yes, yeah.
Delicious.
I think you could drop a little bit of some kind of fruit in there if you wanted that sangria kind of vibe, you know.
Could, you but could, but I'm just saying I don't have to.
And vodka. And vodka.
Oh.
You can add vodka.
Well, these wines are so high quality that make your sangria with something else, okay? Save that for the $2 chuck and get you a nice bottle of Red Lipstick.
There we are.
I love the bottle.
Right? And it was beautiful. Like, cute.
It's really, really beautiful.
Okay. So, Pierre.
Yes.
Last time we talked to you, you were just about to start performances, and that was a while ago. How long have you all been on the road officially?
So officially we've been, so if I add in all the days, we've been, let's say, over 2 months now.
Okay, okay.
Over 2 months, really like running the show and really getting used to just being in a theater with that many people, you know. It's really been a blessing, but also a challenge, more so with the COVID aspect of it, you know, because I think that just puts an extra layer of anxiety, extra layer of responsibility, of stress on yourself and how your choices can affect so many people. And so it's been kind of crazy when it comes to that, but oh my God, like, yes, like I'm gagging almost every show. Like, yes, I'm exhausted. Yes, this is hard. Yes, this is, you know, I want to be in bed, but like, what the fuck, man? I get goosebumps thinking about it. And, you know, they're like those certain numbers, you know, like the end of Yorktown. I'm like crying. I literally am crying almost every time because I'm just like, I can't believe I'm doing this. Like, I can't believe this is amazing. And it kind of really hit me actually here in Philly. It hit me because I was so close to home because I had so many close friends and family members come and see me. Just what a blessing and how grateful and fortunate I am to have this opportunity, not only just to be in the show, just to be able to perform. Yeah. You know, I still feel like we still, that lingering thing of like what happened to us is still there and that it can easily happen like this again. You know,
we've seen that from other shows, like Aladdin had to close for, you know, 10 days. And it's like, everything is on the table.
And I totally understood that.
Did you all have to cancel any performances throughout the?
No, we just had to. We canceled one performance in Atlanta. And essentially what happened was so many positives came up in the matter of like 24 hours or 48 hours. That for us all to get PCR tests, we wouldn't get those results in time for that show. So we were on emails with the producers, and they decided that, you know, it'd be safe for us and the audience for us to kind of cancel that show. But after that, we've had so many meetings, you know, with Equity, with our company management, with our COVID safety managers, and. Ever since then, thank God, we haven't had any outbreaks or anything like that. We've been taking care of each other. We've been getting tested regularly. And we haven't had any more positives in our company.
Cool.
That's amazing. In like 2 months. So, it's crazy.
So such a blessing. That was crazy. We were terrified. All of us were like, okay, now we have no more job. Okay, we're done. Like, you know, your brain always goes to that. You're like, well, it's over. You know, just cancel it. Take my money. Here you go.
I mean, really, like, and you know, I think, you know, Caleb and I have been lucky enough to have like a few gigs here and there in the COVID time, but like mm-hmm. the the like extra added responsibility, and we talked about like the what this might look like in our last episode, but like the putting into practice of really like having to change your day-to-day routine and be like super thoughtful about what you're doing, because if you test positive, then you might be out of a job.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's like it's livelihood.
It's crazy. I think right now what's great is that at least in this world, they're being very realistic about like when you're out for something that's COVID related, there aren't any rules that like you're done or you're not going to get paid or you're not gonna, like everybody that we've been working with has been so understanding of that. So thank God nothing like severe happens to the people who, you know, who get COVID. Like you're still getting paid. You're still use sick days. Like this is, they're not just like throwing you out on the curve. Right. You know, I think they're figuring out the rules right now. So it's really muddy. Like we don't know what happens. It's kind of like when it happens, we'll figure it out type of thing, you know? And I'm trying to be really realistic about that. Cause trust me, like, don't get it twisted. I want to go out. I want to listen. Philly, the gay scene out here is cute. It looks awesome. But also I know, at least for myself, and I interact with everybody. I'm intimate with a lot of people.
Right.
You know, we hang out together every day. So it's not the smart thing to do right now. You know, I am grateful enough that being in Philly, we've got to like go to certain restaurants because it's still like you need to show your vaccine. It's still like feels really safe. You know, there's guards up everywhere. Everybody has their mask on. So like I'm able to do things like that more now, you know, being in Philadelphia. But I couldn't really realistically do that in Jacksonville.
Sure.
Florida, yeah.
Or in Atlanta. You know, like that's not at the time where the numbers were at. That's not the thing to do, you know?
Yeah. And it's interesting that like the culture of a place or like the, you know, the cultural landscape of where you're touring also plays like a factor into how you can be social.
Yeah. Yeah, I feel like everybody, and that's when I say earlier, I was trying to say a breath of fresh air, just because it was like, we got here and it was like, okay, like you feel supported. You feel like, at least here in this city more, you know, cause it's closer to New York. And we're so much used to that culture now, right? That COVID New York experiencing culture. You know, I come here, I could pull out my app, my New York app, and they're like, "You're good, okay, honey, go inside." And I'm like, "Yes." I'm showing it to everybody. Everybody's pulling up their app. We're like, "Yeah," you know. So
yeah,
it's cool to be in these areas, but like you said, it changes every single city. It really does.
Where are you headed to next?
Next, oh my God, next, I have family and friends in Providence, Rhode Island, and I'm really excited just because like. I know so many people that are from there, so a lot of family members are coming. But we're going to be at Providence for 2 weeks, and then we go to Buffalo for 5 weeks. I'm excited to go to Buffalo, but I'm not excited for the winter because after that we go to Ottawa.
Oh Jesus!
So like cold to the coldest. Cold, you know what I'm saying?
Frozen tour, yeah. It's like
it's the Frozen tour. You know what? That's what the Frozen tour.
Yeah. Yeah. But
I'm so excited though. I'm still excited. I'm gonna put my North Face on and my Timberland boots and my little Scully and I'm gonna keep it pushing.
Hello, you know winter fashion. Yes. That's what it's all about.
I'm gonna keep it pushing.
You've talked about like how, you know, emotionally gratifying it is to be back. How has it been challenging at all getting back into the groove of performance, not just with stamina, but like, you know, costume changes and backstage stuff? Like, what has that been like for you?
That has been pretty good. I'm the type of human, like once I get the runs in, I'm like, I'm good. I know. Give me what you got. What's my note? Give me some. I feel like I'm doing it right. For me, it was more, I didn't realize how just hard it is to do two doubles back to back. I feel a little naive to it because I remember, you know, this is my first time really taking over something and doing something like every single day. You know, before I would go on every other day or, you know, maybe once a week and then 1 week I don't go on. So it was, that has been a little bit of a mind fuck a little bit.
Yeah.
Cause that's hard.
Yeah.
It's hard. And then this role, I already know that this role is hard, but like to do that twice a day and then to go into the next day and to give you twice a day, I'm the type of performer that I hate when I have to reel back my energy just to conserve. Like, it hurts me because I want to give every audience member like the same freaking show, but I have to learn now how to kind of take care of my body and like where I need to maybe just relax a little and places where I can give a little bit more. And and then like how do I eat before a show? Like these other things, like to keep myself energized. Like I'm like, I don't like to eat too much, but by act two, middle act two, I'm starving and cranky. Like how do I I'm really navigating like this. It's like math, right? I have to eat something by 11:45, but if I go past 11:45, I'm gonna be not feeling good in this point of the show. And like it's really interesting. It's still a challenge and it's still something that I'm trying to figure out, because I want to sustain. And I also want to feel good about all my performances, but I didn't realize she got me. I feel a little God. I feel like I want to send an email to Equity. Like, I don't feel like we should be doing two shows a day. Because
for me.
Like,
wait, this might be like, I'm interested in this. This might be boring, but like, what are you eating? Like, what is the like before the show? Like,
so before show, I need to eat like a fuller meal about 2 hours before or an hour and a half before. Then an hour before the show, I need a fruit or a shake. And then right before the show, I do a juice. Like any
like
type
a juice
of
shot juice, or like a ginger like, shot or like. Or...
I'll do either a ginger shot or I'll just do a regular green juice or a beet juice. Mm-hmm. And then in intermission, I have another piece of fruit. And then at the end of the show, I have something else too. I have like a granola. And then I go eat dinner. Like, it's so... It's just a lot of freaking food, but it feels like I need it. Like the minute I don't add those things in, I can feel it, and I start to lose it a little bit.
Well, we're athletes. I mean, you have to like really be thoughtful about how you fuel your body. I mean, especially like, I mean, is there anything you're having to like finding yourself avoid, like because it makes you feel crazy or the acid reflux is nuts or something?
Yeah, cheese.
Oh,
I've already been like a dairy free type of girl, like, you know what I mean? But like now for real, I'm like, oh, I can't do that. I can't do, I'm realizing now I can't drink too much coffee before, and that's hurting me. It's hurting me.
But the juices are good for that. It gets you like...
The juices are good
flushed.
For that.
Yeah,
Like now coffee, I have to like... I can't do it right before. And usually I'm like espresso. I'm like...
Oh my God, me too.
And then I go out. And then after my shot, I'm like... Oh, fuck.
Try.
I used to drink like literally... Like two Red Bulls a show at Beetlejuice. I would do one at like half hour. And then I would do one at intermission. And that was after having like a big coffee that day. I'm a nightmare. But I mean, I wasn't doing like so much like vocal heavy lifting. So it was like fine. I think if I were in a different position, it would be kind of crazy. But yeah, I mean, to make it through those shows, it's sometimes you've got to do some crazy shit.
You got to do some shit. I will say what's been saving my life is the IV drip. Therapy situation.
Oh, really? Yeah. Are you finding places in each city?
Yes, I am.
Okay.
I know, right?
Who am I? How do you do it? Like, you closes? Or like, oh.
I do. I know because my friends hate me. Everybody hates me now. Because I'm like, I like do these IV drip now. And then I'm changing. Like, I'm like, Jesus. So I go, there's actually a spot over here 2 blocks away. And what they do is they put all the vitamins in like the big bag, right? So I'll usually do a immunity boost mixed with a performance. So like just all the electrolytes, all the B12s, all that stuff. And she works.
You're up.
I'm going to do them tomorrow before this weekend.
That is real housewife behavior, honestly.
It is real housewife behavior.
But my brother used to do that, and I would be lying if some days at Beetlejuice during flu season, the doctor comes around with a B12 shot for the girls.
Just a real quick.
here and there.
Just real quick. Yeah, absolutely. Between... If I'm feeling something, I'll go get it. I'll be like, come on, girl.
Booty. Like,
hello, right there.
He's like, okay.
Well, actually, a funny story. The first time I went, the girl was like, okay, we're going to give it to you in your butt. Like, because the shot came with the treatment that I did.
Uh-huh.
And I thought she was lying. I thought she was joking. We're like, so she's like, you ready? And I'm like, she's like, mm-mm. And I'm like, okay, girl, cool, right? I go to this other place over here, and I'm like, let me just get a quick beat, you know, a shot, because I was feeling a little sick. And I'm proud as hell. I'm like, and she was like, sir, I can give it to you. She's like, sir, I can give it to you in your arm. And I was like, okay. So then it made me think, like, did that other girl just wanted to see my
butt? Oh, she wanted a peek.
What's the protocol?
What's the protocol?
That is so funny. I know. The arm versus butt shot debate is really interesting. Like, I don't really know the science of it, to be honest.
I don't know. I always feel like the butt feels like you did something bad, and the arm is like, you know, you're supposed to get this.
I feel like the arm, like, you feel it more.
You feel it more.
Yeah. But there's like meat to hook onto in that butt, and it's just like in there, it's just like jiggling around, you know?
Oh my god. I definitely, like, when I was younger, like, my family kind of abused steroid shots a little bit, like penicillin and like steroid shots and stuff. But the way a shot will bruise your ass, though, that is crazy.
Yes, it will.
And it's very tender, and there's a big bruise. Yeah.
Are we talking like side ass or like,
yeah, like top,
seat or like okay,
like top meat. Cheek?
Yeah. Okay, top cheek. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
The medius area.
Yeah.
That meat.
Never have I ever gotten a shot in my butt before. So now
are you serious?
I'm like, never. No.
Never say never.
Never say never.
I'm getting really good at getting my blood drawn, though. Like, the doctor was like, you know, you're one of my only two patients that lays down to get your blood taken. But I'm like, but I don't pass out anymore. Like, I have my fruit.
Oh, yes.
I have my cookies.
I love it. I love
really?
It.
Really?
Like, I hate
I'm
it.
Like,
hate
I love it.
It.
I'm like, girl, I got a good mean one right here.
Come no, on. Oh, yeah. Looking the other way. I'm like, yeah, it's a great day. Just do it. Hurry quick.
No, Pierre, you just like showing off your veiny arms. That's what it is. You say, I've been going to the gym and it's popping out, sweetie.
I've just been like really trying to like...
Depending on the doctor, you just do a little flex, you know.
Really stop. Oh my god. It's been cool. I mean, the discipline has been great. Because like all I have is like the show. I have like HBO Max, Netflix, and the gym.
You know? Well, that's all I was going to ask. How are you like dealing with 18 months off, you have all these creative projects, and now you have to kind of table those projects. How are you doing creativity-wise outside of the show?
Well, actually, it's been super busy. My production company is like still on the move. We're finishing two contracts right now. Editing-wise, I'm always on a Zoom call, conference, situation, phone call. And since we're so close to the East Coast now, I get to go back and forth and actually film a couple things on my days off. So it's been good. It's at moments I'm like, I need a fucking secretary, but who am I to like, I'm like, I, not yet, Pierre. We're going to get there one day.
Yeah.
We're going to get there one day. But it's a lot, and it pulls me in a lot of different directions, but I feel like it grounds me at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
It makes me really appreciate when I am on stage, and it makes me appreciate when I'm not.
Totally.
So I'm just really grateful for all the gigs that are still coming along and just throwing and putting my life into my partner, really, too. Mm-hmm. Investing in his career and making sure, like, okay, what do you need? You know, I'm your reader. I'm your this. I'm your that. Okay, cool. Now I need you to do this for the company. Boom. Now I'm on stage. So then we have someone. So it's like a constant machine just moving and pushing.
Yeah, especially being away, like, that's when communication is like upped and you gotta like be there for each other in like different ways. I did want to ask about, because the last time we talked, you had high hopes for some outreach, and but with COVID you weren't really sure how it was gonna work. So can you update us on that? Like, how has the outreach you wanted to do been?
It's been so freaking cool. So in Atlanta, we got to bring in, I got to bring in 100 students.
Cool.
100 students from a performing arts school. Then in Jacksonville, we got another 100 students to come
wow.
in. And then after that, right here in this city, we got 75 students to come in. And this was just me reaching out to my company management really and being like, yo, where can we get free tickets? What can we do to get the kids in? And thank God, Susan, who's our company manager, she emailed me back each time. I was like, listen, I have these tickets. You know, and she would email me, hey, we have tickets in 2 days. And I'd be like, all right, bet. Let me call you right back. Get on the phone. I called all the schools, spoke to superintendents, spoke to the teachers, teacher's assistants, and we got them in.
Amazing.
So it's been really amazing. I'm trying to do it in every single city, and let's see how it works out.
Have you gotten to hear from any of the kids? I know like you probably don't get to see them because of COVID.
No, they send us like messages, like just thanking us. I was on the phone with a couple of the teachers. One of the teachers' assistants is one of my best friends here. We got to bring 30 kids from the Bronx to come see the show. Like they got
amazing.
And they got to see the show on our, not the opening night, but the press night. They gave us like extra tickets. So we got to bring them, and it's been really cool. We got to bring 30 kids from one of the schools here. Our Angelica, Taria Campbell, she went to school here. So she brought in 30 kids from the program that she graduated from. So we're just kind of like grassroots, like being proactive and just trying to like call and just get people in there, you know? Because I know that the company itself, because of COVID, it's like they can't.
Yeah.
Like there's too many like lawyer things. There's just too many like things that they can't touch.
Yeah.
Right. So I was like, okay, cool.
Red tape.
Give me the tickets and I'll do it. You know?
So that's so cool. And it's so cool to like the, what I'm hearing too is exciting is like with touring, those experiences can also be super personal. Like even more than just the experience of those kids seeing a show, they can see people who grew up in the Bronx, people like them on the stage. They can see people that went to school where they went to school doing what they might want to do. So that's so special. I'm glad that you've gotten to like really sink your teeth into that.
Yeah, no, it's been good. Now I really want to work more on outreach on getting the kids to actually intern or like get more information about stage managing, about lighting designing, about costume designing. You know, it's like you don't have to be the performer. Like, look at how the lights are working. Like, I remember one of the kids that saw the show, they were like, yo, the set, how they built that. Oh my God, I want to know how, like, you know, engineering, anything. Like, you can do anything. There's so many positions for these kids that, but they just don't know. They don't know what it is.
Yeah.
They don't know what that means.
So yeah.
That's another thing we're trying to say
that. And whenever I am around young people, like, if you are passionate about it, there are a million jobs you could do and be involved in theater. You can literally have a 9-to-5 office job and work on a musical every single day, like a company manager or a general manager, you know, like those jobs exist, but they're not like as easy to see or know about because they're not, you know, presented on stage in that way.
Nobody, there's no like course, you know what I mean? You have to be like a performer who doesn't want to perform anymore, but likes this, but also likes this. And then like you trickle down and you find this like niche. And yeah, so I just really want to just expose more just young kids, like that there's so many jobs.
Yeah.
So many jobs.
Yeah. And the amazing part is you're just planting like seeds in all their minds. Like you're going to like 10 years from now, someone's going to reach out to you and be like, I saw you play Hamilton in Philadelphia and it really changed my life. And that's like the coolest part, like the longevity of it.
It really is. We get messages sometimes that I look at that like make me tear up, you know, like kids who say like, I've never seen somebody who looks like me up there. Like this one kid, oh my God. He was like, everybody makes fun of me because I'm short. And like, I'm a shorter Hamilton. He was like, I saw you up there and everybody wanted you and everybody wanted to be you. And you were amazing. And you made me feel confident in my height. And I like literally, I was like, oh my God. Oh, that's like, come on. Like,
Yeah, like, you're impacting people in ways that we could never have even,
that
like,
you can't even, like, think of. And, like, that's something I was insecure about first coming here, and I'm like, oh, sure. You know what I mean? But I embrace it, and I use it, and I'm no longer trying to hide who I am or trying to hate on myself. Like, I just love me. I'm supposed to look like this. I'm supposed to be here in this body right now. So, and I want to pass that along to all the little other little gay boys who see themselves in me.
Aww. We're going to take a quick break, and then we'll be back with Caleb's game.
Praised by Lin-Manuel Miranda as the future of musical theater, SUFS creator Shayna Taub makes Broadway history as only the second woman to write the book, music, lyrics, and star in her own original new musical. Don't miss the much-anticipated Broadway debut of the singular artist that Forbes calls visionary and Billboard anoints as one of the most inventive voices in musical theater. SUFS, the original new musical from Shayna Taub, is now playing on Broadway at the Music Box Theater. Get your tickets today at SUFSmusical.com. The Outsiders on Broadway tells the story of finding where you belong when the world refuses to accept you. Based on S.E. Hinton's beloved novel, featuring new music from Jamestown Revival and Justin Levine, and directed by Danya Taymor, Entertainment Weekly says that, with brilliant staging and some of the most captivating stage fighting currently on Broadway, The Outsiders has the power to inspire an entire generation. Get your tickets today at outsidersmusical.com.
Great. We're back with some quick cues. And I can't believe this is part three. This is our last quick cues with you.
Our like,
final. I really like these games. Okay. I really like these games. I'm just saying.
Okay. Well, three things you need at your station in your dressing room.
Mm. Okay.
Our true sister. Hold on, I have to take a picture of this. This, anyone who knows,
because these are these gold bears. These Haribo gold bears are. There are so many things.
Please,
they give me
it.
Happiness. Yes. They give me happiness. They give me light. They give me fruit. They give me a burst of releases my anxiety because of the chew, like it's a little tough too.
Uh-huh.
And then after that, she disappears, and it's like, and you're full.
Full. You like, get you full.
Have, you have a full meal.
Yeah.
Okay, and you're ready to go. Let me stop.
Delicious.
I'm obsessed with wintergreen lifesaver mints.
Yes.
So good.
The wintergreen ones.
Yeah.
They have to be on my station. I have to pop like eight of them on one show. Just throughout the whole show. And then after that, it would have to be my rubbing alcohol.
For
because,
what?
for my tattoo.
For my tattoos.
I always forget. So that's why it has to be there. Cause if it's not on my station or if I can't see it, I'm not putting it on and then I get in trouble.
So you're covering your tattoos with is it the alcohol based paint or is it like
your blend? The alcohol based one. And sometimes I'll be like, oh, I don't have any more. I couldn't do it.
This is me.
Liar.
And they're like, Pierre. And I'm like, you're right.
Your hair makeup team is listening.
I love you, D.
All right, your favorite seat in the theater. Where do you like to watch a show from?
Favorite seat would have to be in the back by the sound table.
Interesting.
Yeah,
I really enjoy watching the show from there. It just gives me just more perspective of how small I am in the show and just how amazing the lights and the stage and just seeing how everything hits it. I don't know. This for me, I go watch the show.
That's very Zach and A Chorus Line of You.
Uh-huh, yeah.
Very Zach and A Chorus Line.
Very Zach.
Yeah.
Okay, tell us your first time stage dooring.
Oh, My first time was in Minnesota. Is the first time I debuted as Hamilton. That was crazy because it was the last show there. So not only were it was the people that were seeing the show, but I think more fans like came. So the line was like whipped around the parking lot, and I went and signed everybody's. And I just, those are the moments where you see how much you affect people, mm-hmm. and how much the show like just gives people life and joy and happiness. And the fact that I did that, like the whole time I was shaking. And at the end of it, I remember getting into a car and I was coming home because I had 2 days off because we were moving to a new city. And I was just in the car and I was just crying. I was like, this is what I've dreamt of. Like, that's something I miss right now. I miss mm-hmm. it at times because mm-hmm. it really does keep you going. It reminds you of why you do what you do, you know? Yeah, that's, I'll always remember that.
Yes, yes, yes. Okay, fall fashion, we were kind of talking about this earlier. Are you more okay. about like boots, scarves, or hats? Like, what is your like go-to like fall moment when you're like accent? Look at this.
Boot, hoodie, trench, scully fitted. Like in whatever how you ever mix those up, right? I love a boot. I love a thick boot. I love to throw a trench over everything. I have like these humongous trenches, and like I sometimes just wear all sweats and then like throw the trench on and look
Immediately chic.
Yes. Uh-huh, yeah.
Immediately chic. My fitteds and scullies. I have like a bunch of like the little beanies and scullies, and I love to like mix and match. And sometimes I put a hat, and then I put the scully over the hat.
Ooh. So you get like the bell.
You know what I mean? Yeah, mix and match, right? And then you know what? I'm getting into scarves. I have a scarf, it has to be fucking huge,
big, like a blanket. Like, yeah,
it has to be like the bit like
basically a blanket.
Yes,
it has to be like
wrapped.
You know what I mean? Like,
yes, Lenny Kravitz, giant scarf.
I don't want you to see me. Like,
love that. I love that.
Well, you're gonna need that in Buffalo. So, like, great.
Sure are.
Oh God, girl. Okay. Just a reminder of that. I'm like,
freezing, shaking fingers. Last question is, I can't believe this is my job moment that you've ever had in your whole career.
I will have to say one of the first was when I was working on my first guest star role on a TV show mm-hmm. where I realized like, you know, when you audition for something, you're like, I booked it. Oh my God, it's a guest star. And then you read the script and you're like, oh, I'm in this episode. Like I'm in, you like,
you're like, oh.
I remember having a panic attack and being like, oh my God. But it was when I got picked up from the airport. It was like something else, bro. It was like just to see your name and then to get in the car and you're like, oh, and then you have to go to the studio and then you have to get like, you got to get fitted. And they're like, what do you want? Do you want anything? And then the hotel was like, I walked into the hotel and I was like, I could get fucking used to this. And I think that was the moment of like, you know, we all work to those little moments. Just like my stage door moment. Like we all work to these little moments. And not that we did it for this moment, but that this moment is just, of course this is happening.
Yeah, I worked for this. I deserve this. Like,
of course. Like that had to have been it. Like, yeah.
Yeah. That feeling of accomplishment feels good.
It felt important. It felt like I was finally being given what I was worth.
Yep. Uh-huh.
Do you know? Amazing. After all those auditions and all those no's and all those like, you're not it, you're not it, you're not this, you're not that, you're not this, you're not that. And just to have that one little moment where it was like, you're it, like, you're welcome, you know?
You're like, yes, I would like an iced Coke with a splash of lemon served on a tray. Like, very specific.
Sparkling.
Yeah.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Pierre, we are so excited that you are back on stage in front of audiences. And we are so grateful that you were part of our series. Thank you so much again for chatting with us along this journey.
Thank you.
To use the word.
Thank you. I'm very, very, very proud of you guys. Thank you for having me on as another a brother of theater, of gayness, of everything. Just lovely and beautiful. I am just so proud of you guys, and I'm so happy that I'm here. And everybody, keep listening, subscribe, do everything we've been to tell you to do right
Thank
now.
Thank you. We'll tell you everything you need to do coming up. But where can people follow you on social media if they want to?
You guys can follow me at Pierlito, P-I-E-R-R-L-I-T-O, on Instagram, Twitter, as well as you can look me up in Facebook, Pierre Jean Gonzalez.
Oh, you can find the podcast at Equity One Podcast on Instagram and TikTok, and at Equity One _ on Twitter.
Send us an email at equityonepodcast@gmail.com and head over to that app, like we said earlier, and give us a 5-star rate and review. It really helps other people find us and push us forward. Elliot, where can we find you?
You can find me at Elliot Maddox on everything. Caleb?
Caleb Dickey on everything. And until next
Until next time, cheers. Cheers. Oh my God, hangover cured. We did it. Oh.
Really, go subscribe, bitches.
The Outsiders, S.E. Hinton's generation-defining novel, is now a powerful and moving Broadway hit that the New York Post is calling the best new musical of the season so far. Don't miss your chance to join Ponyboy and the Greasers and experience the classic story come to life in a whole new way. The New York Times calls it refreshing, gritty, and endlessly effective. So get your tickets today at outsidersmusical.com, and of course, stay gold. They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway, and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com.